Now, when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh.
Half. Well, as Jeff pointed out, I've been preaching through a series in the book of Exodus. And it's been a real encouragement to me. You've probably forgotten half of the things I've said because there's a big gap between when I preach. We were reminded last week, for those of us who were being taught by Don, both on Sunday and in the midweek, that as Christians, we have faith in a God who alone is faithful. Do you remember he was talking about the decrees of God and how when God sets forth his purposes and his promises that they come true? And this is summed up really when we look at the whole book of Exodus. Don sort of mentioned one of the verses that we looked at as a proof text, and he said this, he said, what happened to Moses and the Hebrews had been precisely promised and foretold to Abraham some 500 years before any of it happened. Before you go to Exodus, just flick back to Genesis and chapter 15, because this sums up the whole of the book of Exodus. So I felt after sort of Thursday evening that there was no need to actually preach, not just today, but probably any of my series, because it's all kind of summed up in these couple of verses. But bear with me. But this is amazing when you think God said this to Abraham over 500 years before any of it came to happen. So chapter 15 of Genesis and verse 13. And Abraham's just been lulled into a deep sleep as God brings his covenant, his promise, his sure promise to him. The Lord said to him, to Abraham, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nations they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. Just as God had promised, that is what we see unfolding in the book of Exodus. This God is the I Am God, the Lord who holds all things in his hands and by his hand brings judgment and rescue. The title for my message is The Hand of God. And you'll see it comes up twice in this passage that we're just looking at, The Hand of God. And I don't know what that title conjures up in your mind. Perhaps it's something like that. Yes, if you're artistic at all and you think, you know, frescoes, you know, paintings on the ceiling and all that. This is God reaching down to Adam. And if you remember, that's this amazing picture. But perhaps for others of you, maybe it's 1986, Argentina versus England, Diego Maradona, ringing any bells for any of you? the hand of God. Do you remember that was, what seemed to steer the whole game away from England was that that goal played by Maradona's hand, as it showed on the replays later. But anyway, we'll not go there. But God is spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. God is spirit. So why is it talking about the hand of God? Well, God makes it clear to us in pictures just who he is and what he's like. And so by helping us to kind of get our head round who God is, he talks about his hand. But what does it mean by the hand of God? Well, it means God is active and powerful, just like a hand, active and powerful. And so we see here that as prophet and priest, Moses and Aaron, and by the way, that was my last sermon, a quick reminder. Okay, it was about Moses and Aaron being called the prophet and priest from that truncated, that shortened genealogy that seemed to make no sense to anybody. You know, why about all those who beget the other ones? Well, they were sent by God as prophet and priest, specifically chosen and specifically with a message of God's hand. God's hand bringing active and powerful rescue and active and powerful judgment. So, the whole of my series is titled that, Rescued, a People to Proclaim God's Praise. That's the purpose of Exodus. And we're looking at Exodus 6, 28 through to 7, verse 7. So turn to have that passage in front of you. And just to give you an outline, we're going to be looking, yes, at the hand of God. And as usual, Ken has 3 points. And so here are the 3 points that we'll have. They're all M's to help you remember. So 3 M's to help you remember. M for message, not listened to. M for miracles, ignored and heart hardened. And M for mighty hand, punishment or rescue. So let's pray. Father God, we do want to thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active, that it does teach us. Father, we come before you as our teacher this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would speak. Holy Spirit, would you make clear to us just who you are, Lord God, that we would humble ourselves before you, that we would come and place ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So God speaks to Moses, his chosen prophet, and you see there in verse 28 that God sends him with a message. He sends him with a message to Pharaoh, but immediately we hear Moses' excuses. Now you think he might have learned, don't you? So, he says to God, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? He says in verse 30. And if you remember, just a couple of chapters back in chapter 4, verses 10 to 14, when he had said exactly the same to God then, God had become very angry with him for his unwillingness and his disobedience. Look back to verses 10 to 14. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent. That's a posh word. Anyway, eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you. Speak, and I will teach you what to say. And so he sends Moses with the help of Aaron, his brother. And perhaps Moses did have a stammer. We don't know. Now, there's conjecture. Maybe he did have faltering lips. But if God had chosen him, then clearly God had chosen him to be that mouthpiece. And so it was a lame excuse. But a quick reminder that God had called Moses to be a prophet. Do you remember I had my megaphone last time as a reminder what a prophet was? And so a prophet was someone who is the go-between, the intermediary between God and the people, bringing God's words on God's behalf. That's what a prophet does. And so Moses is sent by God to be the prophet. But when Moses goes, oh, I can't do it, I can't do this, I've got this faltering, stammering words, well, God comes and says, okay, Aaron will be the prophet, and you will be as God. You'll be bringing my words directly to Aaron, and Aaron will then take them to Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh will hear my words. So God tells Moses, firstly, his message. His message will not be listened to. Do you see there that it's the same message in verse 2 as we had in chapter 5 and verse 1? So here in Exodus 7 verse 2, God says, you are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. The message was clear to Pharaoh, let my people go. But Pharaoh wouldn't listen. And though this was the message, there was another message, a real message underneath that let my people go. The message for Pharaoh and all the Egyptians was actually, the Lord is God and there is no other. Look at verse 29 of chapter 6. So God speaking to Moses says, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. I am the Lord. And God is laying out the challenge that he is God. And God still says, I am the Lord today. He says to you and me, he says, I am the Lord. I am your creator, whoever you are. I am your ruler, whoever you are. I am your boss and the boss of your life. But people don't want to be listening to God. They don't want to hear that. They want to be the boss of their own lives. They want, just like Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they want to ignore what God is saying to them and do things their way. So the message was, let my people go, yes, but underlying that was that I am the Lord, said God. So secondly, miracles ignored with heart hardened. Secondly, God tells Moses that he's not only going to tell Pharaoh and the Egyptians that he is Lord, but he's going to show Pharaoh and the Egyptians that he is Lord. And he's going to do that with miracles, with miraculous signs and wonders, scripture says. With miraculous signs and wonders in verse 3. But though both Pharaoh and the Egyptians will see all that, Moses is told that they will deliberately not believe. Their hearts will be hard. But actually, they will deliberately not believe. You see there in this verse, in verse 3, it tells us, well, just going into verse 4, that though God will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he, Pharaoh, will not listen to you. It's quite clear that it is Pharaoh alone who chooses to ignore God's display of his power. Pharaoh makes the choice to ignore God. Yes, God hardens his heart, but Pharaoh ultimately makes the choice to go, no, I'm not going to believe what you have shown me or what you have told me. And that's the same as is written in Romans chapter 1, isn't it? That men are without excuse, the Apostle Paul tells us. Men are without excuse because God's eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood by what is made. You want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. Look around you. Look around you, Scripture says. God is on display. God is on display from the tiniest creation of God's amazing power to his great expanse of the universe. The question is he Lord? Is he Lord? So we've seen the message. We've seen the miracles. But our third M is the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. God tells Moses that he will be active and powerful. He will respond to Pharaoh and the Egyptians' deliberate choice to ignore him. And what will he do? He will bring judgment. Verse 4. Speaking of Pharaoh, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt with mighty acts of judgment. I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. He doesn't spell it out, but here is the account of what was going to happen in the 10 plagues that God was going to bring. And we're not going to unpack it this morning, but those 10 plagues were specifically challenging the gods of Egypt. They were challenging each of the gods that they would worship. And God would show that by his power in each of those 10 plagues, God was God. But the word lay, did you see that? The word, I will lay my hand of judgment. It suggests that this was going to be a felt judgment. That they were going to feel it when God brings those plagues on the Egyptians and on Pharaoh. But still, the message won't get through until finally God brings judgment against Pharaoh and the Egyptians themselves. And how is he going to do that? With the death of the firstborn. And God's freeing of the Israelites from their slavery. So God stretches out his hand against Egypt and rescues, brings out the Israelites. And it's not until then that we see that the people, Pharaoh and the Israelites and the Egyptians, will all recognize who God is. And the Egyptians will know, says verse 5, that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. This demonstration of the mighty hand of God, his active and powerful intervention to bring punishment or rescue, would forever be a reminder for God's enemies and God's people. And over again in Scripture, you see that God reminds them and he points them back to this time when he stepped in and rescued by his powerful hand. But the writer to the Hebrews reminds us of something quite scary. He says in Hebrews 10:31, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This was God's rescue, but also his judgment. So this is the key that we've been seeing, is God's message of who he is. God's miracles point to who he is, and God's final mighty hand brings rescue, but brings judgment and punishment at the same time. The whole of the book of Exodus, however, for us as believers, points us forwards, doesn't it? As we've been seeing, Don calls it typology. Yeah, so there, Moses is a type of Christ, of Jesus, and it points us towards what would happen in the New Testament when God finally brings his rescue plan to fulfillment. God sent Jesus, his son, as we were thinking last time, as prophet and priest, with a message. And the message that God brought through his son was just like Moses' message, a message at two levels. On one level, well, the level is this, maybe summed up in John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. So that was maybe the first message, but the underlying message was something much deeper, wasn't it? It was actually, who is this Jesus? The deeper point that God was bringing was that this was not only the Christ, the Messiah, God's chosen one, but it was God the Son, able to bring our rescue and our redemption, our paying for the price of our sin. And so there in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus himself speaking in his revelation to John says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is who God is and who Jesus is, the Almighty. Fully God and fully man. But when Jesus brought this message, he was largely, like when Moses brought the message to Pharaoh and the Egyptians, not listened to. He was ignored. The question is, what are you going to do with Jesus' message? Are you going to ignore it? He then came, didn't he, with miracles. Just as we saw Moses bringing to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians, he brought amazing miracles, miracle after miracle, showing that he had power over creation, that he had power over the human body, that he had power over life and death itself. And what did the people want? Show us something again. Go on, just show us one more of those things, will you? You see that in Matthew chapter 12. Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you after all these things that he had done. Jesus answered, A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So the miracles were ignored. Hearts were hardened. And those are documented miracles in the Bible for us. Are you going to ignore them? Or are you going to see them as demonstrations of God's power and demonstrations, as the writers themselves say, to who Jesus is? He is God the Son. And by that final sign, God demonstrates his mighty hand, doesn't he? His mighty hand in punishment and in rescue. Will you have God's mighty hand of wrath remain on you, as John 3:36 said? Or will you be freed from God's wrath, since we have now been justified by his blood, says Paul to those believers in Rome. Since we've been justified, that means we've been made justified, those who are not legally counted as sinful, by Jesus' blood. How much more will we be saved from God's wrath through him. God's mighty hand was shown in the cross. So finally, God's message, God's miracles, and God's mighty hand all show us who he is. They tell us God's purpose. His purpose was to show Moses and Aaron, to show Pharaoh and the Egyptians, to show us here in Cold Harbor who God is, that we would know him, that we would know that he is the Lord. But that demands a response from us. When we recognize God's hand, we recognize that God is God. And there are no more excuses for us. Here in Deuteronomy 5 and 15, there is an interesting reminder that Moses brings as he brings the Ten Commandments a second time to the people of Israel. And he brings them, and he says this, reminding them of what we're just talking about this morning. Remember, he says, that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, what's your response going to be? The Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. God demands us to respond to who he is, and we should respond by worship. Moses and Aaron gave up the excuses then, didn't they? Did you see that in verse 6? Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded. They obediently did what God told them to do. And it's an interesting postscript, isn't it, that Jeff alluded to earlier, that we're reminded that obedience isn't just for the young and the able-bodied. You see there, when they had this message, Moses, 80, Aaron, 83. Moses, possibly with a disability, and Aaron, quite clearly, not a young spring chicken. So the challenge for us is, isn't it? Are we going to heed God's message? Are we going to recognize what he has demonstrated by his power? Are we going to see his mighty hands at work? And are we going to try and stand before his wrath in our own strength? Or are we going to accept God's rescue? Amen. The song we're going to sing to close is Jesus is Lord, the cry that echoes through creation. The last, though Hebrews 10 says it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Jesus says, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Amen.